You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW, FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. 3 weeks ago tonight, we were very fortunate to feature a discussion of the California Lemon Law. But we all walked away at the end of the program realizing that we'd but scratched the surface. So tonight, we return with Lemon Law 102, beginning with really where we left off 3 weeks ago. That is, you've been a good consumer. You did your homework, or so you thought. The price was right. But your car was apparently built the morning after the entire factory returned from a 3-day bender. What do you do? Where do you start? Who are you going to call? In the studio with me tonight is my friend and longtime participant in this program, Ron Rohde. Ron has served, as we discussed last time, as an arbitrator in Lemon Law cases. And also joining us tonight on the telephone, I'm pleased to introduce John Hansen of San Diego. John is back from the previous Lemon Law show as well. He is located on the... You can find him online at sandiegolemonlawyer.com. John represents consumers in these cases. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number here in the studio is 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the local dialing area, and again, that means if you're calling from outside of San Francisco, please feel free to call toll-free. That's on our dime, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. And as always, you can call regarding any question on the topic. You want to talk about lemon law, consumer law, arbitration. You're not limited to the exact point we may be in the conversation. And with that, let's return our discussion tonight to the of the so-called lemon law. And with that, John, Ron, let me welcome each of you to Your Legal Rights.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
You know, before we go further, I'd like to start with this. I was asked a question during the week whether somebody should listen, and I always tell them you should listen, but does the Lemon Law apply beyond cars?
Yes, the Lemon Law does apply to other consumer products. However, the arbitration portion of the Lemon Law only applies to vehicles, motor vehicles. But it does apply to most every consumer product.
When we talk about motor vehicles, does that include commercial vehicles, maybe vans or trucks, or does it apply to motorcycles, or is it pretty much limited to cars?
It applies to motorcycles, and it can apply to commercial vehicles, but there are some restrictions. So the Lemon Law was written originally to be only a law to protect consumers, and that means people who are buying or leasing for their private use or personal, family, or household purposes. It was later expanded so that if you're a small business and you have five or fewer registered vehicles in California for your business, you can use the Lemon Law for a commercial vehicle. The vehicle also has to be below a curb weight of 10,000 pounds. So there are restrictions. You know, a great big semi-tractor trailer may not qualify because of the weight. Or if you've got a large fleet of vehicles registered in the business's name, then you may not use the protection. But it definitely does apply to motorcycles. It can apply to RVs, motorhomes. As we were talking about before, it'll cover a variety of consumer products, including, I think, that there's now a puppy lemon law. So you can, if you get a puppy that isn't what you were expecting, you might be able to use it.
And hopefully that doesn't mean the puppy that isn't properly housebroken. Hopefully there's something more towards the animal welfare in a law like that. You know, one of the things I want to circle back to a little later tonight is about what forums we should go to. Should we go to litigation on a trial track? Should we consider arbitration? And I'm going to give each of you a chance to look at that. I know that your different perspectives, your different practices Each of you has a different some different ideas to bear, and I think it would help everybody to talk about both. But before we get there, the first thing I want to focus on is let's talk a little bit about resources. What resources are there for somebody who's concerned that they have a lemon? Whether it's brochures or people to advise them, where would be the first place to go?
The California Department of Consumer Affairs has some excellent resources, as does the Better Business Bureau. They have California Consumer Affairs, or Department of Consumer Affairs, has a brochure called Lemonade, which you can find at www.dca.ca.gov. Look at their index of various different publications, but you'll be able to find it there. It's called Lemonade for Consumers. It goes through quite a bit about a lot of information about the lemon law, what qualifies, what doesn't qualify, and also provides a lot of resources for dealing with vehicles once you've determined that you have a lemon.
I'd add to that, you know, there is a lot of information on the internet and published by nonprofits, governmental groups, and so forth. But it can be a bit problematic. It's kind of like if you have a health issue and you want to go to WebMD or some online information source to find out and try to self-diagnose. You can be better informed, but you really do. Need a professional in a lemon law case, an attorney that specializes in that practice area. But there's a lot of nuances that can be missed, and a lot of bottom line, a lot of money that you can lose by trying to sort of DIY it.
So looking at these publications, would you think the person might be analogous to the family member who does their research online and comes up with these great, well-informed suggestions, but ultimately is found to be lacking in the ability to make the observations that might make them connect the dots correctly?
Right. So it's good to read up and try to do research always in most things to be the best informed you can. And that'll help you to maybe help your attorney to spot some issues or avoid some problems and allow you to ask some of the right questions. But, you know, there are a lot of lemon lawyers that you can contact. The main issue that we have is that most people don't know that lemon lawyers are out there and are available to be hired and to consult with without having to pay their fees or a percentage of what you would recover in the lemon law case.
One of the things I've run across is people who have a car that's clearly a lemon, and they don't even know that there's a law out there that will protect them or give them any kind of recourse. They can't recognize whether or not they even have a lemon, and that's one of the things that these publications can help somebody with, is to determine whether or not they even have a lemon and should start looking for an attorney.
Sometimes, you know, we get a lot of referrals and a lot of people who come to us because the repairing dealership will actually suggest sort of quietly and unofficially that the customer should look into the lemon law or call us or call a different lemon lawyer. And that's oftentimes the first time that the consumer figures out that there is something that some rights that they can enforce. So the dealership, you know, we have to remember, although they have the name of the manufacturer on their business, they are separate businesses, and in the usual course of things, they aren't going to be the defendant or the person sued. It'll be the manufacturer. So they often have an interest in wanting to keep their customers happy, perhaps get them out of this bad vehicle, and then they'll come back and buy a new vehicle once they're out of the bad one from that same dealership. So it's not a bad idea if you're having problems or if you think maybe you might have a lemon to actually talk with your service advisor or some of the service personnel at the dealership. They also have a lot of knowledge about what kinds of cars and kinds of problems they are having a hard time fixing, and they'll actually witness a lot of lemon law car returns, which are usually set up to take place back at that selling dealership. So they'll, in the service department, they'll see vehicles coming in on appointments that are for lemon law returns, and so they'll have some knowledge about you know, particular vehicles that are getting repurchased.
So I'm thinking, what other resources might be out there to kind of help you before you get to the point where you need an attorney, or before you get to find an attorney? Lemon Law, it seems to be that there's a fairly small number of people that are really dialed into it just now. Would most lawyer referral services have those resources to connect you with the right attorney?
There will be lawyer referral services. Sometimes legal aid and some other military lawyers and other people will be aware of lemon lawyers that are out there, and they can refer. You know, but we find that it's such kind of a niche practice area that even most attorneys don't know that there are lemon lawyers out there or how they work or operate. So you know, it's hard for consumers to find us. That's the one of the great advantages of the internet now, is that if you start typing in your questions into Google, lo and behold, you can come up with attorneys that'll be there with websites and advertisements and information.
Yeah, one resource that's recommended on the internet is the California State Bar Association lawyer referral or attorney referral program at 415-538-2000.
And the California State Bar primarily regulates the attorneys in the state. They do oversee virtually all these certified lawyer referral services within the state. And in those areas where they've delegated that operation to a local bar, they would simply refer you to that local bar. So it's not like they're in competition, and these are the people that certify the lawyer referral services.
I'd have to say, though, that one thing is interesting. You always have to be kind of an informed consumer, even in hiring your lawyer. And, you know, I know many of the better practitioners in the lemon law area, and I'm not sure you would find them actually in many of the referral services. They're either not participating or for whatever reason. So you do have to shop around, and the referral service, you know, it may help, but it may not get you where you may end up going to the wrong lawyer.
Are there other organizations that jump in or that might be there to help? What about the Better Business Bureau, for example?
The Better Business Bureau, I don't know that they would refer you out to a lawyer. You know, they can get involved in all kinds of consumer complaints and issues. I've not found them, in my experience, to be particularly effective, although they can be helpful. There's a great organization, National Association of Consumer Advocates, and it's consumeradvocates.org is the site, and they have a referral page that really specializes in consumer law of all types. So if you go there, you'll be able to use their referral page. You'll be able to see lawyers across California by not just consumer law practice, but very specialized. Who does lemon law? Who does auto fraud? Who does Truth in Lending Act violations? And the membership it's a membership organization that has a very good reputation. It does a lot of outreach and education for the lawyers that are involved with it, and they've got a very good referral page.
Perhaps one of the reasons the Better Business Bureau would not be too active in referring consumers to lawyers is that they do have their own AutoLine program for arbitrating these disputes. There's also the California Dispute Settlement Program. There's the consumer arbitration program for motor vehicles. There's the New Motor Vehicle Board that performs mediation for various different for consumers. And then, as I said, there is the State Bar Association that will connect somebody with an attorney. So it turns out that the Better Business Bureau handles a number of different manufacturers, but not all of them. The California Dispute Settlement Program also handles a number of different manufacturers, specifically Toyota, Tesla, and Fiat Chrysler. And then if there are some vehicles out there that are not part of any kind of arbitration program, and they're handled by they can be handled by the New Motor Vehicle Board, which, again, as I said, provides mediation services.
I'm Jeff Hayden, and you're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco, where tonight we revisit Lemon Law with Lemon Law 102, beginning where we left off a few weeks ago. That is, you've been a good consumer but bought a defective car. What do you do? Where do you start? Who are you going to call? On the phone with us, I'm pleased to reintroduce John Hansen of San Diego. He can be found on the web at thesandiegolemonlawyer.com. John represents consumers in these cases. And in the studio with me today is Ron Rohde. Ron has served as an arbitrator in Lemon Law cases. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number in the studio is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or if you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. As always, you can call regarding any question on the topic. If you want to talk about buying cars, if you want to talk about consumer problems, if you want to talk about the Lemon Law, you want to talk about arbitration, you're not limited to the exact point in the conversation, we may be, just feel free to call us at our toll-free number. It's our nickel, 866-798-8255. Again, that's 866-798-8255. One question, a lot of consumers would probably assume that, you know, what attorney's going to be interested in a Lemon case? I mean, it doesn't involve very much in damages. So I guess what they're alluding to is if a consumer buys a new car that turns out to be a Lemon, you know, there may be a remedy for the dealer to replace the car or maybe give the refund to the consumer. But what's the incentive for attorneys to represent these consumers? I mean, that you're presumably getting paid somewhere.
Right. So the very smart people that wrote the Lemon Law figured out right away that it wasn't any good to have a law that protected your warranty rights or consumers if the consumer didn't have reasonable access to lawyers. So in many areas of the law, you have to pay your lawyer an hourly fee. And if we have to take a vehicle Lemon Law case to trial, the fee bill could easily and usually does exceed $100,000 in fees and costs to go through trial. Now, no reasonable person would pay a lawyer $100,000 to get a $30,000 or $40,000 car repurchase. It wouldn't make financial sense. So the authors knew that, of the Lemon Law knew that, and they wrote a provision that was what they call a one-way fee-shifting provision. So if the consumer wins, then the manufacturer not only has to buy back the vehicle, but they have to pay the consumer's lawyer their reasonable fees and costs. So there's a tremendous incentive there for consumers to be able to reach out, get a lawyer, that they otherwise couldn't afford. And it is not a two-way fee. So if you lose, you don't have to pay the manufacturer's fees. They have to bear them themselves, win or lose. But the consumer has that power to get the lawyers paid for by judgment against the manufacturer. It's unlike personal injury law or other plaintiff's area practices where the lawyers only get paid out of and from your recovery, like maybe a 25% or 33% of what you get in a personal injury action. Instead, in the Lemon Law, the lawyers get paid on top of what you recover.
So you don't get a discount in whatever they're paying you. You mentioned a while ago, and we talked about the remedy might be for the manufacturer to buy back the car. What happens to these cars that are determined to be lemons? I mean, what do the automakers do with them?
Well, what they're supposed to do under the law is brand them. Literally, that means they brand the title Lemon Law Buyback. So the title, the pink slip, will forever bear that label. They also put a permanent sticker on the door jamb of the vehicle that brands it as a Lemon Law Buyback. They are, if they're going to be reselling it, they're supposed to fix the problem before it goes back out. Now, the degree to which that all is complied with is unknown. It's probably a pretty high percentage, but there may be vehicles that aren't being branded, even though they are being bought back under the Lemon Laws. But that's an important part of the Lemon Law, is that, you know, as a consumer that has a lemon vehicle, you can actually help other consumers rather than say what a lot of people do, is when they face a problem vehicle that doesn't seem to be able to ever get out of the shop, they just trade it in, and off it goes without any Lemon Law designation or any other warning to the downstream consumer. So your neighbor may end up buying that vehicle unaware of this history of problems. The Lemon Law was set up so that the manufacturers, if they buy it back or they assist a dealership to buy it back under any of the Lemon Law protections, then they have to brand it forever as a lemon.
In addition to that, they're also required to provide the purchaser of that Lemon Law Buyback a list of all the nonconformities and all the problems that the vehicle had. They have to provide a list of repairs they made in an attempt to correct those, and they have to provide, they're required to provide a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty for each part or issue that the that resulted in the vehicle being bought back. So that if they follow all those rules, it's a pretty rather onerous burden for the manufacturer to provide all of this.
So ultimately, they need to stand behind their work and probably start thinking about maybe not sending the entire factory up for a junket at the same time. With that, let me pause it for where we are right now. I'd like to turn to Carla in Oakland. Welcome. You're on Your Legal Rights.
Hello, gentlemen. Good evening. I have a question about purchasing a car from a private person, a used car, if there's any protection at all.
And when you say...
Well, basic, very little effective protection.
Okay.
So you have to be very suspect of buying privately.
Yes.
Oftentimes, vehicles that you'll see on the side of the road with a little for sale sign, maybe sometimes with two or three other vehicles that have for sale signs, are really unlicensed or licensed salespeople selling when they shouldn't be.
Right.
They're supposed to sell on lot. So there's a big problem with what they call curb stoners, and that's a huge area for odometer fraud and other kind of fraud rings. They'll come in. I've prosecuted nationwide odometer fraud rings, and they'll come in to some city. They'll rent a house out for a month, and then they'll pose as the owner of that house. They will put a series of odometer rollback vehicles in the garage, and they'll meet people at this, supposedly at their home.
Oh, goodness.
And sell them these rollback odometers cars. that, you know, that says that it has 55,000, but it actually has 355,000 miles on it.
Oh, my God.
And then they clear out of town.
Yeah.
And people are like, I bought it. I went to the guy's house. I mean, it's a tough area. The Lemon laws aren't protecting you. Most consumer laws are not protecting you. None of them are protecting you really from private sellers. They're only for people. Those laws are pointed at people who are professionally in the business of selling and or manufacturing these vehicles. So it's a big area for caution.
So I mean, if I went to somebody's home, let's say I answered an ad on Craigslist, and I went to go see the vehicle, and I mean, is it out of line to ask for, well, can I see your driver's license to make sure you live here? And this is your vehicle and your registration to make sure it's the right person, and then ask for any receipts on any repairs they've had made?
I've bought a lot of cars from private parties over the years, going back many years. And mm-hmm. that was one of the things I used to do before cell phones or before any of this. I would actually look them up in the phone book to see if they were actually the people who lived in that place. That was one of my checks. But then there's also the possibility that the vehicle is still under warranty.
Right.
And in that case, the Lemon Law does still apply if the vehicle is under warranty. But there are some issues there. You have to confirm that the vehicle is under warranty, maybe trace it back. There's some services such as Carfax that can
sure.
also provide information. If you're a member of, like, AAA Auto Club, you can take your vehicle, take in the potential vehicle and have them do a check.
The VIN number, yeah, and all that.
Well, you can have them do a check of the mechanical check of the vehicle, or you can take it to a mechanic.
Sure.
If somebody's not willing to allow you to take a vehicle to a mechanic, then I wouldn't buy it from them. And you can always walk away. But as I say, I bought a lot of vehicles from private parties.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly back when I was a student and
sure.
couldn't afford to go to a dealership. And so it's not as grim as you might, as people who are in the business and have had to go after the scumbags might tell you it is, but
you just
have
to be cautious.
You do have to look out.
Sure. Okay.
You have to understand that you don't have, against a private seller, you don't have the same remedies. Even if you got a judgment against them, took them to small claims court or whatever it is, they don't have the resources to pay the judgment oftentimes. So you really do have to be quite careful. And it is very, very important, as even if you're buying from a dealership, but I guess even more so from a private seller, that you have that vehicle thoroughly inspected. That's pretty much the only way that you're going to figure out if that car, for example, potentially had an odometer rollback. An experienced auto inspector would know what signs to look for there, or maybe a flood-damaged vehicle, other kinds of things that
right.
will show up on the private selling market.
Great. Well, thank you very much, and I'm sure other people have questions that apply to new cars or whatever. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Carla, thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden, and tonight we're talking Lemon Law. We're talking about what do you do? You've been a good consumer. You bought the right car, or so you thought. You paid the right price, or so you thought. But not this car. This is the one that rolled off the assembly line after a really, really bad breakup or after a really bad party. And it's reflected in the car you drive. So what are you going to do? Where do you go? On the phone with us, John Hansen of San Diego, the SanDiegoLemonLawyer.com. John represents consumers in these cases. In the studio, Ron Rohde. Ron is an arbitrator in Lemon Law cases. Questions for my guests? 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. If you're calling from outside of San Francisco, 866-798-8255. Again, that's on our nickel, 866-798-8255. As always, any question there in the topic you don't have to talk about what we are right now, feel free to call. This is Your Legal Rights. We'll be back right after this.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's lawyer referral service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.
So we're talking Lemon Law with Alex of San Leandro. You're on Your Legal Rights. Welcome. Alex, are you still on the phone with us? We don't seem to have Alex. I'll circle back in a minute.
They say that, oh, they're the owner, blah, 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 but it turns out that they weren't the owner at all. They took pictures of this vehicle in front of a nice home in a nice area. Then I come to find out that, you know, they weren't even from that area. So can I call DMV and give them a flag on that? Or what do I do in a situation like that? Because I know they're burning other people. They made a lot of misclaims in the Craigslist ad, and, you know, that's just not right. So
first thing to do is flag this with Craigslist.
Okay.
And ask them to take it down.
Okay, but I'm sure.
DMV is not an enforcement organization. This should probably go to the local district attorney.
Although there's some competing jurisdictions, some overlapping jurisdictions that have some abilities in this area, Alex. The DMV does have an investigation unit, and they will turn it over through the state attorney general or the local district attorney's office. The district attorney's office all have consumer fraud units. Chuck Finney, who was hosting this program for 30-some years, was active for most of that time in the consumer fraud unit of the district attorney's office of San Mateo County. There are resources. The DA's office can be there to help you. The DMV can often take the report, as would a local police agency, and turn it over to the DA's office or the attorney general's office. Any of those might be good places to start.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Alex, thank you for joining us. We were talking about what happens to the cars that are determined to be lemons when the manufacturer has worked with them, and they're like, what if I don't want to buy a Lemon Law buyback? How can I really be sure?
Well, the first thing is to look at the title. If you're buying it from the manufacturer or from the dealership for the manufacturer, as John was saying, they're required to put all this information in there. And as John said, the vehicle's been branded as a Lemon Law buyback.
Some people
actually do want to buy those Lemon Law buybacks. There's a market for them out there. A lot of times in the higher end vehicles, because there's usually a fairly substantial discount on the price, people are out there looking for them.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking of when we were talking about these buybacks is I was thinking about the analogy to buying a car with a salvage title, where something may have happened to the car or the region the car was in that took out the car, and it's been repaired, maybe superficially, maybe very thoroughly, but ultimately, once it's branded as salvage title, it's sold at quite a discount. It'll stay there. And no matter how often the car is transferred, how much is done to correct it, it typically will carry a salvage title throughout its life. Is there similar protections with a Lemon Law buyback, a car that's been repaired? Is it going to follow it through its title throughout, or are these protections only there for the person who initially buys it? I mean, is there something to stop somebody from buying it to flip it the way we're seeing people do with houses now?
Well, it'll actually not only stay on the title as a brand, but there's actually a sticker that goes physically on the vehicle. So you could potentially remove the sticker and then engage in illegal title washing. Otherwise, it's going to be there forever and ever.
So I buy this car that's a Lemon Law buyback, and I was happy to do it. I got a substantial discount. I got something that supposedly all this defect has been cured, and it's all ready for me now. What protections do I get? I mean, am I looking at free repairs? Do I really need my glasses to make out the scarlet letter?
It's a fairly noticeable brand on the title, but if you, let's say you buy one, you still will have the Lemon Law protection, assuming that the extended warranty that came with the buyback from the manufacturer or the original manufacturer's warranty is still in place in terms of its mileage and time restrictions. I've got clients currently who bought Lemon Law buybacks. The vehicle was supposed to be fixed. It goes straight back in the shop for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now it's going to get bought back again.
Yeah, in addition to the original warranty, the vehicle will have a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty over and above whatever was on it before for the parts that were or the issues that were the cause of the buyback in the first place.
You know, people may disagree. Some want to buy a car that's a salvage title, or some may want to buy a car that is a Lemon Law buyback. Some want to take the chance. They don't mind working with their hands a little bit to get to the bottom of it. Or perhaps they think that it's cleared and they get quite a substantial discount for running that risk. But I guess nobody would want to unwittingly or unknowingly buy a car that was once a Lemon Law buyback. We would all want to have that information and make sure it's factored into the price and into the risk we take. Can Carfax or similar services protect me from unwittingly buying that car that was once a Lemon Law buyback?
Well, they, you know, Carfax and AutoCheck and other services, they're only as good as the information that's given to them. But standardly, they will be checking, for example, the California DMV records, and they'll get Lemon Law buyback, and it should show up on the Carfax.
Let me turn this over to Sharon in Berkeley. You're on Your Legal Rights. Welcome.
Good evening. Yeah, can you hear me?
We hear you fine, and you're on the air. Welcome.
Okay, so since autonomous vehicles are powered by a printed circuit board, will all of the laws that you're talking about apply to autonomous vehicles?
The answer is yes, they will. Once those are sold as or leased to the consumers. Right now, they're not in the consumer flow.
Okay. And so all of the laws of the DMV, the rules of the road, all of these things that apply to you and to me and everybody else who has to get a driver's license and follow the rules of the road and all of this other stuff, that's going to apply to the autonomous vehicles.
Well, I can only speak to the Lemon Law issues as far as licensing.
Okay.
That's something else that's going on that's probably beyond the scope of what we can address. Though if you're in the Bay Area, you see a lot of these autonomous vehicles driving around as test vehicles right now.
You can go. There are some very good, if you're interested in the legislation that's being bandied around and some of the regulations that people are trying to work on, There's a lot of work that's being done and a lot of legislative work that needs to be done regarding autonomous vehicles. But there's a group, CARS, the Center for Automobile Reliability and Safety. They're doing a lot of work in that area. And if you go to their website, that's a good place to start to look if you're interested in those issues.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sharon, thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights. On Your Legal Rights tonight, we're discussing Lemon Law 102. You did your homework. You're the right consumer. You bought the right model, but you bought a defective car. What do you do? With us on the phone tonight is John Hansen of San Diego. That's the SanDiegoLemonLawyer.com. John represents consumers in these cases. And Lemon Law arbitrator Ron Rohde. Ron has been a longtime participant in this program, and thank you for joining us to both of you. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number to us in the studio is 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll free, our nickel, 866-798-8255. I guess phone calls cost a lot more than a nickel these days, but it's still our dime, quarter, dollar, whatever it may be. That's 866-798-8255. You know, we're talking about specific things. You don't have to join right at that moment. You can ask us any questions about consumer law, about lemon law. If you want to talk about arbitration, if you want to talk about litigating these lemon law cases, whatever it may be, you're not limited to what we happen to be stuck on. Again, call us toll free, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. One of the things I wanted to spend some time talking about tonight, and we're kind of getting down to it already, is a difference about the different forums that are out there where I might go and seek to remedy what's happened to me and what kind of a car I ended up with. And I wanted to talk to each of you about litigation, arbitration, some of the various vehicles that are out there to deal with our vehicles that are stuck there. John, would you like to talk a little bit about litigation and the litigation procedure? Just kind of where does one start and really what do they have to look forward to? What steps are they going to be going through?
Well, the first step obviously will be, you know, your call to your consumer lawyer, and then you're going to be gathering a lot of information. They'll be wanting to see all of your repair records, so all the invoices that you got from the dealership. They'll be wanting to see all of your communications, emails and letters back and forth with the manufacturer or the dealership. And they may very well want to have their own expert go and check out your vehicle and the problems that you're talking about. All of that prior to signing you up as a client. And then once you're signed up as a client, the litigation starts by your lawyer drafting what's called a complaint, which sets out all of the allegations and the legal claims that you're making. And then when they file that and then they serve it on the manufacturer, usually the manufacturer is going to be responding in some way to your lawyer in about 2 to 4 weeks. That may be from the manufacturer and their in-house counsel. It may be out, lawyers that the manufacturer hires outside of their own corporation. But usually 2 to 4 weeks, you'll get a response. And that response could be a request for more information. It could just as likely be an offer to repurchase. It may just come in the form of what's called an answer, which is a formal legal document that either admits or denies the allegations in your complaint. But usually it's about 2 to 4 weeks, and then you get a pretty good sense about what's gonna happen.
And assuming that they don't right away come in and say, let's settle this, they file an answer which says, well, prove it to me, in essence. What are the various steps that are going to happen in a typical trial?
Well, there's sort of different stages in a lemon law case about when cases may settle or there may be that offer. We have to remember that, you know, 97-99% of all civil cases are going to settle before an actual trial starts. Now, the trial may be not for 9, 12, or 15 months even away from the time later after you file your complaint. But usually in a lemon law case, if the manufacturer doesn't come right out of the bat and offer a buyback, they may offer something what they call like a cash and keep offer, which is they give you a certain amount of cash and you agree to dismiss your lawsuit. But they also may want to have their experts inspect the vehicle. And usually once they've done that, there's another opportunity for they have more information, so they may at that point want to buy the vehicle back. Lemon law cases are kind of interesting because, you know, when you've got your case going, unless your vehicle is just locked up at the shop and not being worked on, or they can't get the parts or whatever, and you're not using it, most of the clients are still, you know, they may be driving the vehicle. It may not be working properly, but they may not have any other choice. And so things develop. You know, the problem gets worse, or there's another kind of development. And at that point, the case might settle. But usually, you get a pretty clear idea. Most of the time, if a lawyer is going to be involved, because they're getting paid is contingent upon your having a good case. They're going to have vetted your case pretty strongly, and it should have some fairly strong merits, and so it probably should garner a buyback. I think one of the things that I would emphasize to people is there is a tremendous amount of gray areas about recovery, and if you don't have a lawyer or know what you're doing, that buyback offer may be that you have to pay them, the manufacturer, to buy back the vehicle. Let's say you had a trade-in when you bought the vehicle and you were upside down and owed $6,000 or $9,000 on it. The manufacturers, unless you have a lawyer, they're standardly not going to agree to pay off, when they pay off that loan, to pay off that negative equity portion. And so if you've only paid $2,000 or $3,000 into the vehicle, even if they agree to that they're going to give you that $2,000 or $3,000 back, they're going to subtract the $6,000 or $9,000 in negative equity. That's just one of the many pitfalls that you really do need to have an attorney on there, and that can be also a complicating factor in terms of how fast your case can settle, because obviously nobody wants to be in that position, and it may take your lawyer some doing to get the manufacturers to agree to pay that amount.
So we'll refer to that pitfall as the Henny Youngman position. I wish I was a little older and did that impression better, but that would be the, yes, take my car, please, that you're standing there with checkbook in hand. One of the things John just told us, Ron, is on those cases that don't settle, it might take 9, 12, or 15 months to get to trial, and it seems like that would be a really good segue to talk a little bit about arbitration by comparison. Before you walk us through an arbitration, though, are there different systems of arbitration? Do different automakers use different arbitration models?
Well, yeah, there are about three different systems currently certified in California. One of them is the Better Business Bureau, and So there's a laundry list of vehicles that the Better Business Bureau handles, including Aston Martin, Bentley, BMW, Ferrari, Ford, General Motors, Hyundai, Genesis, Jaguar, Land Rover, Kia, Lamborghini, Lotus, Maserati, Mazda, Mercedes-Benz, Nissan, VW, Audi. Then there are several manufacturers. I mentioned earlier Tesla, Toyota, and Fiat Chrysler, which includes Alfa Romeo and Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Jeep, Ram, that work with the California Dispute Settlement Program. The vehicles that aren't on either of those lists, such as Subaru, they may be approached through the Consumer Arbitration Program for Vehicle Motors, which is operated by the, I believe it's the California program. So these are the programs. The program I was involved with was the Better Business Bureau system. And what happens there is that when a consumer contacts the Better Business Bureau, they collect information, contact information about the consumer, the VIN number. They'll provide the consumer with a checklist of documents, determine whether or not they this particular manufacturer is part of their is participating in their program, and then they assign a case specialist to the consumer. When the about a week before the arbitration, the arbitrator receives a package from the Better Business Bureau with the various documents that have been provided by the consumer and the manufacturer. And The package also includes statements by the consumer and by the manufacturer as to why they should be why they should win, why they should have a repurchase, or why they shouldn't have a repurchase from the manufacturer. And then usually the arbitrator will review these documents before going into the arbitration in preparation for the arbitration. At arbitration, the arbitrator explains the process to the parties, swears in the parties. Then the consumer makes a statement, the manufacturer makes a statement, there are rebuttals and questions, the arbitrator can ask questions. Another thing that happens in arbitration that's doesn't necessarily happen in, certainly not once you're in trial, is that there's an opportunity to inspect the vehicle by the arbitrator and to test drive the vehicle. Typically that happens, it tells us whether or not that the defect is there. In fact, there were several cases where the test drive actually made the decision for me once I got in the vehicle and saw the defect or the absence of the defect. I was able to say, yes, this is a repurchase. And then after the inspection, there's a question. Either party can ask the other questions. The arbitrator can ask questions, and then each side makes a closing statement. The arbitrator is required to provide a decision to the Better Business Bureau within 3 days. The attempt by the Better Business Bureau is to close or to is for the entire process to take to be over within 40 days. So if there's a repurchase, the repurchase is the price of the vehicle or that the consumer paid plus various different expenses such as any manufacturing parts that were added to the vehicle, also the cost of registering the vehicle, all that's part of the repurchase, and the repurchase is calculated from the day the consumer first complained about the vehicle.
We're getting short on time. I'd like to turn it over to Paul in San Carlos, but Paul, our time is short. If we don't have time to finish with you, we'll finish your call off the air. But for right now, Paul, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Okay, thanks. I bought a new pickup truck a couple months ago, actually a little less than a couple months ago. And against my better judgment, I purchased the service contract that went with it. They browbeat me into it. Anyway, I want to cancel that purchase. And I'd like to know if I have to jump through all the hoops they say I do, or if I just have to tell them I don't want it anymore. Do you know?
Standardly, you can cancel, and you should be able to get a pro rata refund of it, and they'll either refund it to the loan, or they may refund it to you directly. But there's a lot of different companies that have a lot of different requirements. Usually you have to go into the dealership and they've got to verify what your odometer reading is. So that's kind of how they one of the ways they figure out your pro rata refund. It can be very difficult to get that done. The dealerships aren't very good. They don't really have any interest at all in helping you, even though that's where you need to go to get it canceled.
I have to take it to them. I mean, it's a brand new vehicle. It's got now 3,500 miles on it, so it's not yet due for its first service. And it's been...
Well, you'd have to read the actual contract that you were hopefully given about
yes.
How you go about canceling it. It may be fine printed on the back, but okay. Usually that's the way that you have to... And I did.
I just wondered if I had to really go through all those steps, and apparently the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. Hope that wasn't too much time.
Paul, not at all. Your timing is perfect. Thank you for joining us. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Ron, John, each of you, if you'd like to take about a minute, and any closing thoughts you have, anything in summary that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, I think, you know, the closing thought for me is, you know, this is an area where consumers have a very powerful law, and they can get expert legal advice and expert mechanical advice all for free by contacting a consumer lawyer, and there's absolutely no reason not to do that. If I was advising a cousin, I would say that's your first step. If you have any question at all, you can get great advice and great assistance, and you know, help to ensure that you're going to get what you deserve, both in terms of the buyback, getting it at all, and then getting the money that you're supposed to be getting. So we often get contacted by people after they've initiated their own buyback request with the manufacturer or otherwise, and then they come to us and say, well, I've got this offer, but I don't know if it's a good offer or not. And unfortunately, there's no way, unless we charge an hourly fee, which would be something we wouldn't do because it would cost too much, there's no way to get a lawyer afterwards. It's a practical matter. So you really sort of need to get in there, get that great advice, and get going that way.
And Ron, how about you? Any closing thoughts? Anything you'd like to tell us?
I think that the Better Business Bureau arbitration and some of these other arbitration systems are also a very good alternative for the consumer. It's over rather quickly. The decision is either a repurchase or a repair. Repurchase is they essentially pay you the entire amount of the vehicle. There's no offer, well, would you take this? There's no negotiation. They just pay the entire amount of the vehicle and all your costs for buying it. So what they won't pay you for is if there are damages or if there are penalties or other issues, in which case you would definitely want to go and see an attorney. But for something that's over rather quickly and relatively painlessly, it's a good system. Even if they don't buy it back, or even if the decision goes against you, it may be because that the arbitrators determined that the manufacturer has really not had a reasonable opportunity to repair, and the manufacturer should get at least one more shot at it. And that's generally the situation, in which case, if they fail to repair it after they get one more shot at it, then it might be appropriate to go see an attorney, or you can go back to the Better Business Bureau. And like with the attorney, it's entirely free to the consumer.
With that, I thank you both. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. Tonight, we've been continuing our discussion of the California Lemon Laws. In the studio with me tonight is Ron Rohde. Ron has served as an arbitrator in Lemon Law cases. And on the phone with us tonight, I'm pleased once again to bring in John Hansen of San Diego. John, thank you for joining us. John is the San Diego Lemon Lawyer, located at the sandiegolemonlawyer.com. Thank you both, Ron and John, for joining us. Next week, on February 27th, a very special program coming up. We'll take a moment to reflect. It's been a year. We want to reflect on the passing of Chuck Finney and also take a look at the extraordinary year we've had preserving Chuck's vision and keeping this program in operation. We invite your feedback. It's also going to be a Call a Lawyer night. Again, tonight, you're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 in San Francisco. For production assistant Martin McLean and at the controls Joanne Marr, I'm Jeff Hayden, and our thanks to you for listening.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.